Welcome to Throwing Light. This is episode 15, Gender 101. For a second I wasn't recording, but I am, so let's go. Oh, actually, rewind. I have a show next week. Let's see. I'm recording this on whatever the last Saturday in July is, and it'll come out on, I think it's like August 3rd. So next week, August 9th, it's a Wednesday. I've been invited to do a storytelling show, so it's a five-minute. It's at the Writer Center in Bethesda, and I think it's called the Story Fest Short Slam or something like that. So the heart of it, there's a lot of misinformation about what gender is and what transgender means. So last episode, I talked about political anxiety, and then the other day, our president tweeted about transgender in the military, and I got political anxiety. And I had been planning to do this episode, and so I did a Privilege 101 episode a few weeks back, and I had originally had the idea for Gender 101 before I had the idea for Privilege 101. But then, I don't know why, I've been dragging my feet. And then the tweets happened, and I was like, yeah, so this is the week. I wanted to do this episode because I have a bachelor's in sociology. In the last year, I've taken several psychology classes to prepare to start grad school for social work. So a lot of the information that I'm going to share today comes from one of the classes that I took in the fall semester of last year. But my introduction to gender was, or to the concept of what gender was, potentially a fluid thing, I had not heard that until I took the sociology of gender. And I think it was 2009 or something like that. I'm going to define some of what these terms, a lot of all of what these terms mean in just a minute. So I was in my late 20s. I had an 8-year-old daughter. And she was extremely girly. And so the class introduced me to the idea that gender is a social construct. Well, first let me define gender. So sex, biological, not the other kind of sex, refers to biological differences, chromosomes, hormonal profiles, internal and external sex organs. Gender describes the characteristics that society or culture delineates as masculine or feminine. And by the way, these definitions come from Monash University online. They have a page that details the definitions. So this is a quote. So while your sex as male or female is a biological fact that is the same in any culture, what that sex means in terms of your gender role as a man or a woman in society can be quite different cross-culturally. These, quote, gender roles have an impact on the health of the individual. In other words, the fact that female people tend and befriend, the fact that we are, not the fact, so that's the idea that we tend and befriend instead of fighting, the idea that we are quieter, that we're more prone to gossip, that men are pigs, the idea that men like beer, the idea that a cocktail would not be a masculine drink. All of these are, I don't know why I use those examples. There's a million of them. But the idea that, you know, girls play with Barbies and boys play with trucks, all of it is gender. We don't choose those, generally speaking, and we'll get into when that doesn't happen. But generally speaking, you're born male or female right from the gate. And then depending on how your society thinks about a man or a woman, in a lot of ways, you see what you think you are going to see. So you'll say, like, she's very girly or he's all boy. And that may be true, but it also may be a socialization process. So the idea that gender as a social construct is the idea that we ascribe these attributes to our kids, and then we raise them with the expectation that they'll live up to that. And oftentimes they do. Obviously, I mean, it's cyclical, right? Oh, I was first learning this in 2009, and I had this very girly daughter, and I was like, oh, maybe I taught her to be that way, and maybe not. It's tricky, and it's interesting, and some boys, some girls do prefer certain things, and that is indisputable. Whether or not it's true, if it's a social construct, well, it's true. So I prefer to wear makeup when I go out. I like to wear clothes that would be defined as feminine, and jewelry and perfume and all of that quote-unquote female gender stuff. And usually everybody is kind of a mix. So I'm more ambitious than that gender is supposed to be in my culture. I am very good with direction, which is not necessarily a feminine attribute. So anyway, all that to say, gender is this unique blend of attributes ascribed to women or attributes ascribed to men. And more than likely, we fit some of them, we don't fit others. But most of us pick the side that they're given. Most people, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if they're born a female, they grow up to carry those gender attributes to a certain degree, at least. So I want to talk about when that doesn't happen and what transgender is. And really, like, whenever I'm talking about sensitive subjects, and especially when I am the, I guess, person of privilege, I feel really nervous. I don't take it lightly. I did want to say before we go on, so most of this is not my own research. I took a class and the professor did a day on transgender. So it's been less than a year. I didn't know how to feel about the transgender stuff, and I didn't necessarily know what it was. And I walked into that class thinking that it was something completely different than what it was. And it was illuminating and helpful for me because I guess when we know better, we do better. I'm a pretty aware person. Like, I go out of my way to learn about this stuff. And so if I didn't know about this with a bachelor's in sociology, I feel so grateful, I guess, that I learned what I learned at that place and time. Like, on a practical level, I just think it's important. Transgender, according to my professor, is an umbrella, inclusive umbrella term used to describe anyone who feels that the sex or the gender they were assigned at birth incompletely describes or fails to describe them. I didn't know that. I thought the definition was what is basically, I learned later, intersex. Intersex, as described by, it's transstudent.org in their definitions, and there's a whole long list. Describing a person with a less common combination of hormones, chromosomes, and anatomy that are used to assign sex at birth. Parents and medical professionals usually coercively assign intersex infants a sex and have in the past been medically permitted to perform surgical operations to conform the infant's genitalia to that assignment. This practice has become increasingly controversial as intersex students speak out against the practice. The term intersex is not interchangeable with or a synonym of transgender, although some intersex people do identify as transgender. And that, by the way, that's the transstudent.org definition of intersex. That's what I thought transgender was. Someone who was born a male who felt like that didn't fit them. I don't know exactly how I would have described it, but I felt like it was false or fake and not true transgender. And I was completely, completely wrong. And I did not know that until I was sitting in this class like less than a year ago. So the inclusive umbrella of transgender includes cross-dressing, male to female, female to male, non-binary, which we'll talk about in a minute, and intersex, which I just described. It's like a, it is like a spectrum. You have sex, you have gender, masculine and feminineness, and then there's sexual identity. And I'm not, and this is very important, being transgender is separate from your sexual, who you want to have sex with. You can be a man, transition to a female, and you can be attracted to women, you can be attracted to men, you can be attracted to both, you can be attracted to none. That's really important because we lump everything together. The definition of non-binary for all genders other than female slash male or woman slash man used as an adjective, this is the transstudent.org definition I'm quoting. Not all non-binary people identify as trans, and not all trans people identify as non-binary. And cisgender just means you have the gender that you were born with. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders classifies gender dysphoria, what we're calling here transgender, as a mental disorder. Involves a conflict between a person's physical or assigned gender and the gender with which he, she, they identify, may be very uncomfortable with the gender they were assigned, sometimes described as being uncomfortable with their body, particularly developments during puberty or being uncomfortable with the expected roles of their assigned gender, may often experience significant distress and or problems functioning associated with the conflict between the way they feel, referred to as experienced or expressed gender, and their physical or assigned gender. So you could, I think, rightly question, why does it have to be a disorder to begin with? I think the argument for why is so lots of people, I think it's something like 33% of the U.S. population has generalized anxiety disorder or an anxiety disorder of some sort. And it causes us distress. At its best, the DSM definition is not an attempt to change the person's mind. It's just acknowledging that they feel this way. And statistically, that's not the way that the majority of us feel. We don't feel that way. So it's a disorder in the degree to which people have it, I guess. If everybody felt this way, it would be normal. It wouldn't be a disorder. Often people who aren't comfortable with the gender that they were assigned, I don't know if often, I actually don't know how many people do transition, but some of them do. Transitioning means different things. So lifestyle changes, hormonal treatment, electrolysis, I think I said that right, surgeries. Transitioning doesn't always entail changing genitalia. And I don't know a lot about the medical procedures, but I think my understanding is that they've come a long way. Notably, most clinicians and doctors have come to support medical intervention. This is from my professor. Research supports the effectiveness of medical intervention for the reduction of dysphoria. Critics remain, obviously. So why are some people transgender? I mean, the bottom line is we don't know. There may be small differences in neurological structure or functioning. People, especially religious people, get caught up in why and whether or not it's sinful. So there was this experiment that started in 1970. It's called the Sissy Boy Experiment, a man named Kirk Murphy. And you can go on YouTube. Anderson Cooper did an expose a couple of years ago on the outcome of the Sissy Boy Experiment. This boy had like a feminine manner, I'm not sure. And so they did experiments on him for years to try to change that. Initially, the experiment was deemed a success. And it was for years. He was straight and he was masculine. What they did to him, he would have two options. He would have like a truck over here and Barbies over here. And if he played with the truck, then his mom would give him attention. If he didn't, if he played with the dolls, then his mom would ignore him. And it was hard for me to watch, and I would say all kinds of trigger warnings. He ultimately committed suicide. There was a lot more. I mean, obviously, they experimented on him for years. When I think about sinfulness and gender or sexual identity, I don't think about whether or not it's a sin to be transgender or whether or not it's a sin to be gay. I think about how sinful and how evil this experiment was, and the fact that there are people today that believe that this kind of stuff should still go on is heartbreaking. So I wanted to share some facts. And again, this comes from my professor. So 57% of transgender people have been rejected by their family. 19% of transgender people have experienced homelessness. 19% have been refused medical care. 41% after they have transitioned can't change their IDs. 47% have attempted suicide. My professor ended with a word about etiquette, how to talk to people who are transgender, how not to talk to people. Respecting their privacy is a big thing because of the stigma and because of, and I'm talking to you as if assuming that you're not transgender, I just realized. And if you are, you know, I hope that you have found comfort in this and that you know that I want to be better and I want to use my tiny platform to help make the world a safer place for you. And I'm really emotional in this episode. I was waiting a few months ago. It was two people, and when you wait tables, you develop habits. So I would always say, like, hi, ladies, how are you guys? Thank you, gentlemen, whatever. But after taking this class, I had made an effort to not do that and to not judge, because you could look, quote unquote, like a female and not identify as such. So these two people came, and I immediately, like, I assumed that they were non-binary and their gender wasn't clear. So I made a mental note to not use male or female pronouns. But then, and pronouns are tricky, and I haven't really talked about pronouns, but I struggle with, well, what do I say? Because they sounds somehow not as respectful, in my opinion. So one of them was asking about the other person's salad, and I said something like, well, she got, I don't remember what it was, but I said she, and I knew immediately, and I could see in their faces that I had messed up. And so I finished taking their order, rung it in, and I was like, I have to go say something. So I went back and I was like, I just wanted to apologize for assuming your gender. And they were like, that's okay, it's fine. We kind of had like a little talk about it. Their food came, and after they'd paid, I went back to the table and I said, you know, thanks again. It's been a pleasure, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm sorry again. And the one said, you know, we were talking and we're just kind of amazed that you even noticed and that you said something. And so many people don't. And I just felt like they felt seen. And I messed up, but I made it right. We all have this opportunity to, like, make it right in the little tiny daily interactions. So the last thing I'll say is it helps to know people who are transgender. And part of that is tricky because you do want to respect their privacy. And I mean, I would say this with anything, like different religions from you, different sexual orientations from you. It's important to know people who are different genders than you. And you know that. But for me, someone was in my life whom I super respected and looked up to. And when I found out that that person was transgender, everything just kind of clicked. Like all the education, all the learning, I was like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, it's easy to judge someone when you don't know them. The way out of that is to get to know them. Yeah. Thank you for listening. And here it is, your break for verses. Dear God, loving Father, protective Mother, we are so thankful for the way that you keep us safe. Guide us, O God, fill us with your grace and truth. Surround us with love. Help us to trust and to be trustworthy. Help us to find the strength and the will to practice wholehearted vulnerability. When we realize that we have not been safe, give us the courage to turn around and go the other way. We pray for wisdom. May we use our time to spread peace and joy. May each of us learn what it means to be a deeply safe person for all the people in our lives. May we love and be loved and trust in the unwavering love you have for us. We have this amazing opportunity to learn what it means to be a safe person and to practice it to the best of our ability so that the people in our lives may be blessed. And in this world that can be a scary place sometimes, they'll know that when they need grace and truth and compassion, we're there for them. Thank you for listening. I am honored and grateful. I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes because it helps me reach more people. As always, the show notes for this episode can be found at brandyglows.com. If you have any questions or an idea for a future show, you can tweet me at brandyglows or email me at brandyglows@gmail.com.